We now go to the Windsor, Detroit area, where an alien craft has just landed.
I want you men to surround the craft. Chris, you stay with me.
What are we going to do, Jeff?
We're going in.
What? They're extraterrestrials.
What are you doing here? Why have you come here?
We have come here to listen to 99.1 FM CJAM.
99.1 FM CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Hello, everyone. The 2012 CJAM Pledge Drive is coming in November. You'll have the opportunity to call in and pledge your support to CJAM during the live You Talking to Me Pledge Drive special. And that's on November 14th. Or if you want to contact me beforehand, just visit the You Talking to Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. Send me an email and we'll make sure your pledge dollars get to CJAM on behalf of You Talking to Me. There are some cool incentives for certain dollar denominations, t-shirts, music packages, even a CJAM hoodie. I believe. Sweet stuff. Practicing Witch Barb Haven is on the You Talking to Me Local Witches Halloween special today to talk about witches, spells, potions, and Samhain. Barb, welcome to the show.
Hey, JD.
So you're a practicing witch. You're local and a member of a community actually called WOW, Witches of Windsor. In fact, there are a number of communities of practicing witches, I guess, locally. And what are some of the differences that might make a number of these communities rather than one big community that do various groups practice different things?
Well, there's a few public, a few private communities here in Windsor, Essex County. One of the older groups in Windsor is Windsor Pagans. They've been around for quite a while. They've got a Yahoo online group, I believe. And last I heard, they have open group meets and so on. There's Windsor Essex Pagans. There's also, of course, our group called WOW on Facebook. I'm sure there's more. I mean, and some, you know, some could be considered private covens, you know, limited memberships. Some are traditional covens that have, you know, up to 13 members, and they generally keep to themselves. We typically know each other or at least know of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, not all these groups are Wiccan. I mean, some of them just call themselves pagan. You know, it's just an umbrella term for various different faiths that practice polytheism, I guess I could say, you know, or spiritualists, that sort of thing. To answer your question a little more specifically, the members or the communities, you know, tend to gravitate toward groups, people that have more common interests, you know, so people that are in close proximity to each other, particularly in the counties. You know, they share common interests. Wicca is a relatively new religion. With pretty specific practices. You know, there's holy days or Sabbats, and it's primarily focused on feminine divinity, although, you know, Wiccans do believe in a god. He's just the male aspect. We call him the horn god. Mm-hmm. Now, I think most Wiccans would actually agree that the founder originally was Gerald Gardner. That happened, you know, in the early 1940s. Like, for the most part, Wicca is a highly organized faith. Usually requires, you know, a working group, lots of formal rituals. These rituals, Wiccan rituals, traditionally require several people. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is if you've got, for example, solitary members, which a lot of our members are, kind of difficult to do those traditional rituals, you know, as a result. Covens are private. They generally don't seek new members. You know, of course, we're a very diverse group of individuals. You know, we got many different thoughts on many different ways that we all practice. And if you put 100 pagans in a room, ask them the same question, you're going to get 100 different answers.
Yeah. And you have absolutely a Facebook page as well. Now, does your group meet as well? And
we are regular, everyday Joes. We have jobs and kids and families. If we were a formal coven, for example, you know, we'd probably have monthly full moon meets, which are called esbits and things like that. What we are is primarily strictly a social network. It's a place, a sounding board for people to come together, people that are of like mind, similar path, you know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right.
And we should note that your Facebook page and community covers, like you mentioned, everyone, whether they're new to this or advanced as
Absolutely.
Well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. They're good. Anyone from just the curious to, you know, the beginners. We have some high priest priestesses, you know, some pretty adept people. People in between. It's like I say, it's an inclusive community.
You were talking about Wicca.
During the 1950s, there was some revival, and that's when the Wicca was really North Americanized, more so than...
Was it changed a lot when it was, I mean, from what it is today?
The original traditions haven't really changed. The way people practice, for example, definitely has changed. Society's changed.
Practicing witches back in the early days, was that a religion for them at that time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For example, not to be... rude or anything, but I mean, we can't practice skyclad like we used to. Skyclad basically means you're doing naked rituals.
Okay.
You know, you can't really do that in an urban community.
Right. Well, can you not do that in the privacy of your
Absolutely.
Own?
Yeah. And there are people, you know, that do have private properties and so on that, you know, can practice.
And where does that term come from, skyclad?
That's what they called it, because you were wearing nothing but the sky.
Okay. Is there a church?
There isn't a formal Wiccan church anywhere in Windsor. There is, however, a recognized church in Toronto. It's a huge community. They've got public and private circles. They have a temple. They have a Wicca shop. There's a lot of people out there, great people out there, actually. That's where I'm from.
Now, I want to talk to you about some of the stereotypes, because that's obviously probably one of the first things people think about when they think of a witch. It's the broom riding and, and of course, Halloween, which is tonight. And so maybe we can dispel some of these. So one is the broom riding. Do you ride a broom?
We all get asked that. Absolutely, we do. No. Actually, brooms really in Wicca do play a pretty significant role. You know, it's a tool that we use primarily as a cleansing tool. We use them to sweep our circle. Mm-hmm. There's an altar broom that's kept by the altar, and it's used to sweep the sacred circle before we cast a circle. Okay.
So there is significance to the broom, at least.
There actually is. There's more than one significance, though. The broom's usually handmade. You know, it could be willow or cinnamon. Now, during the spring, in some of the older pagan traditions, what people would do is they would take their brooms outside and they would sweep, say, an area they were planning on harvesting for crop. Mm-hmm. You know, dispel negative energies. Afterwards, they'd have, you know, a Sabbath or a feast or whatnot and some celebrations. During that, some of the females would actually get out in the field again after having some wine or spirits in them and dance around. And from an outsider's point of view, they'd actually appear to be riding brooms.
Right,
so that's, you know, sort of where that came from. The other use for a broom in Wicca is...
Cleaning.
Nope. We have regular brooms and vacuums for that.
Okay.
But for hand fasting, which is a Wiccan wedding, at the end of the ceremony, the bride and groom jump over the broom.
Okay.
So, you know, it has fertility significance as well, not just cleansing.
Mm-hmm. And then what about sacrifices?
That is a Druidic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not something that Wiccans practice. You know, in Druidism and Wicca are really separate, distinct faiths. Druidism is a form of paganism as well. And they used animal and human sacrifices in ancient, you know, Druidic traditions. Now, you've got to keep in mind, back in those days, you know, in ancient times, that was a common practice. I mean, people expected sacrifices. They wanted that, you know.
And was that so much here? Was it happening a lot in North America, or was this something?
This is Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, this is way back. So North America wasn't really developed at that point, you know.
Can we date back to the earliest time of...
Good Lord.
Or the earliest known witch, perhaps?
Well, you see, that's a loaded question, because there were initially in ancient pagan traditions, there was no Wicca. There was many different tribes. They were all pagans. What did we call them?
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah, and then just derived from that, I guess. And
pagan, like the Wiccan tradition is a modern day version of witchcraft, I guess, in the short answer.
And speaking of witchcraft, evil spells and black magic, I would imagine many witches are what many of us would call good witches, maybe right. White witches, and not practice black magic.
Well, you know what? Actually, the only real rules that Wiccans follow, they involve 8 words and a harm none, do what you will. You know, so, I mean, Wiccans, we also believe that, you know, any spells or any intentions that we cast out, you know, they tend to come back to us threefold. So, you know, it's totally and completely up to the individual or the covens, mm-hmm. Their own personal responsibilities, you know, what you feel you want to come back into your life.
And then another big stereotype or mystery, I guess, that could surround witches is the fact that you don't necessarily worship the devil, do you?
Absolutely not. The devil is a Christian deity. Mm-hmm. We don't acknowledge a devil. I think part of the misconception is we worship a horned god, mm-hmm. Who's, you know, just the male energy in our faith. Wicca, I mean, originally, you know, this religion, this faith was formed basically by borrowing from parts of, you know, Freemasonry, ceremonial magic. You know, some people actually believe that some of the writings of Aleister Crowley as well. You know, there's different types of spirits, you know, that can be used to accomplish spell workings. I mean, none of them have any connection to the devil or proverbial hell. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pretty one-dimensional beings. They can behave according to their nature. Some can hurt you, you know. If you're dealing with somebody who's truly adept, you know, then they have enough knowledge to know how to successfully manifest and communicate with infernals, you know, on an earth plane, you know, they're generally evolved enough that they're going to do it safely. They're going to do it for sane reasons. But as far as a devil, no, we really don't know who he is.
And then are there any other particular stereotypes that come to mind for you, maybe that I'm not thinking about?
Stereotypes, I mean, you know, the traditional witch hats and things like that.
All right, sure.
You know, the traditionally ugly green witches and things like that.
Wizard
you know,
of Oz.
Yeah, that's a lot of Hollywood stuff.
Sure.
You know, we do
wear
robes.
What do you about all that Hollywood, the way that they
Some
portray.
Of it is really entertaining and some yeah. of it's just annoying.
Yeah.
You know, it's it's all personal taste, right?
And then do you have a black cat?
I don't.
Okay. I think that's maybe another stereotype.
It is a bit of a stereotype, you know.
Or it's associated with...
I tried to have a black cat, but they just don't seem to like me.
Yeah, they don't like the spray paint. I know you do have a lot of cats, though.
Well, we have a private rescue group. Particularly in West Windsor, there's a lot of stray, unneutered cats and some wild mm-hmm. colonies. So we're doing some volunteer work. We're pooling our funds and we're putting those together to get them spayed, neutered, shots, and things like that.
Great. And that's been a problem for quite some time, actually.
Oh, it's
the
huge.
Cats.
Yeah. It's huge. Yeah, it's sad.
Now, what does the term ceremonial magician mean?
You know, that is an umbrella term. I mean, the difference, I guess, in a short answer would be high magic and low magic, and I don't mean anything derogatory by low magic. Wiccans generally practice what we call low magic, mm-hmm. which is just generally involving earth, maybe moon energies. Ceremonial magicians are going to actually access higher planes, different planetary things, and their rituals are much more complicated than, a traditional, even a Wiccan mm-hmm. Ritual would be.
And where does or how does spiritual advancement fit into being a practicing witch?
I think, you know, once you take on, you know, a path of I want to become a Wiccan, I want to dedicate myself to the years that it takes to get my degrees and so on, what you've done is you've signed yourself up for a lifetime commitment of learning. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't end. Not one of us knows everything there is to know. We all know the basics, but it's an interesting path. It encourages critical thinking, and I think for the most part, most Wiccans, most witches are avid readers. You just have to know everything about everything, and then you want to question it.
Would you say that maybe Wiccans, but or practicing witches especially, are a stronger person maybe because of the fact that surrounding it, you make it ridiculed, or you may, you know, that mm-hmm. those types of things. Mm-hmm. Do they usually have does it take a stronger person?
You have to sort of break free of the chains of fear that some of the traditional Christian religions have kind of imposed on us. Mm-hmm. You gotta step outside of the box, rethink, reread, and re-understand. So, yeah, these people tend to be a little bit more high-spirited, a mm-hmm. Little stronger, I suppose.
And we'll get more into potions and spells, but I found it interesting that love magic is actually frowned upon.
Well, Well, again, I mean, like the Wiccan Reed just tells us to do whatever we please, you know, accept the consequences. I think most Wiccans frown on any spell or any intent, you know, that's kind of going to interfere with someone's free will. You know, I wouldn't want to have to, say, bewitch someone, you know, just to secure their affection. I think that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It is entirely up to the individual. You know, we try and stay neutral on those things as far as what people personally want to do mm-hmm. when it comes to spell working.
You Talking to Me will broadcast a special show November 14th for the CJAM 2012 Pledge Drive. My morning show co-host Lipple will be on You Talking to Me on that day, as well as Susanna from Vis-a-Vis. She'll be on with us, and also Tamara from the Windsor Youth Center. And when we come back, potions, spells, and more with practicing witch Barb Haven on the You Talking to Me Local Witches Halloween special. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Barb Haven after this. Do you have an interesting career? Do you have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. And now we're back with Barb Haven joining us, a local practicing witch. Barb, what's Halloween all about, really? I know you refer to it as Samhain, so tell me about that.
It's Wiccan New Year.
Okay.
For the most part, that's, you know, the highlight of our year, the culmination of our year. It's a night where we believe, you know, the veil between the physical and the spirit realm is very thin, or it's thinnest. You know, we believe spirits walk freely amongst us. I'm assuming that's where some of the Halloween costume came from. And a lot of families will have, you know, their private rituals and gatherings. We do try and get together for Samhain, but because it is such a busy time of year, it doesn't generally happen. Some families will put out what we call dumb supper for deceased relatives and loved ones. Mm-hmm. And it's also a time where we honor our ancestors.
What about Devil's Night?
Devil's Night, you know, is, I from what I understand, is a phenomenon that started in the 1940s. And it was just basically an excuse for anarchy and crime and vandalism to take place. And then peaked again around the 90s for some reason. From everything I've ever read or understood, there is no pagan Wiccan group that I know of that
no tie with the religion
has any tie with it. Yeah,
like just an excuse to go break pumpkins,
I guess.
Now, you owned an occult supply store at one point. Yeah. Tell us about that.
I loved my little shop. You know, it was certainly, if you know you want to get into niche retail, you're not going to get rich. So I mean, if you're going to do something like that, you have to have another source of income, and you know. Generally speaking, you need a partner because retail's a lot of long hours. What I did love about that shop was being able to showcase some of our, you know, some of our community's crafts, for example, and just having a nice little spot to pop in and have a tea and chat and actually see each other face to face. It was fun.
So it was more than just a supply store. I mean, you had tea,
social, I used to serve free tea and coffee and herbal concoctions of.
Where was that located?
In Sandwich Town, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you considered possibly opening up another place?
Yeah, actually, I'm talking to another party right now, and we're, you know, potentially going to consider putting another shop together. We'd like to be able to bring in some of the, you know, local artists and consignment inventories that we used to get. You know, nice to have handmade stuff by our community, you know. Some stuff you gotta buy. You just gotta. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a cool idea. And there are other shops here in Windsor. There's one, I believe, downtown near the bus terminal. And then other than that, I think we rely on each other for our crafted stuff.
Sure.
Hand-blended things and so on.
Now, how does unexplained phenomena tie in with witches, like ghosts or psychic abilities and things of that nature? Are witches just more open to this, perhaps?
I think definitely, you know, witches, we learn pretty early in our initial training about spirit realm. I mean, we're not fearful of other dimensions. That's part of our training. The spirit realm, you know, it's pretty vast. It's got a lot of different types of entities. Like one of the first things we learn about is our astral body, which is actually part of the spirit realm. You know, if you approach the spirit realm with respect and understanding, an open mind, you know, it's a pretty neat place. There are specific ways, you know, to contact spirits, how to deal with spirits, and it depends on the type. You know, it depends on timing as well. There are more active times and dates, you know, when you can reach them. Some of the really frightening cases, like, you know, hauntings and things that involve what we would call residual psychic energies, which actually aren't spirits. You know, they are you know, places where violent deaths occurred. You know, those are things that are usually spawned from fear. And I think in most cases, even with, say, for example, demonic possessions, they're just cases of our subconscious mind. We're creating an elemental spirit, you know, that can be really frightening. And sometimes they can be pretty powerful. So I think we, to answer your question in the short answer, yeah, we're okay with spirits.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of spirits, you actually have a little ghost story of your own. Can you share that with us?
I have a couple.
The drummer, yeah.
Oh, I had a snare drummer in my, just the audio I have of it in my kitchen. I used to live in Old Sandwich Town. I had a paranormal company come in, and I actually have a look at it because I'm like, well, you know, is this speaker on my camera? Is something, you know, is it technical or is it just me being crazy? And they hadn't heard anything quite like that. I'd also had spirit entity in my house for a couple of months that used to feed my dog treats out of thin air. Fun stuff, you know. If a spirit's going to get out of hand, then sometimes we have to take control. Generally, I let them be. You know, I think they were here a lot longer, in the cases of spirits anyway, maybe not, you know, psychic energies and elementals we create, but I think human ghosts and other spiritual entities, you got to have some respect for them, but they got to behave.
Now, what got you interested in becoming a witch, and how did becoming a Wiccan come about for you? Was that something, anything you knew about prior to becoming a witch, or was it?
No, I from the time I can remember watching Bewitched, I wanted to be her. And then, you know, I turned into a rebellious teenager, and I just really wanted to freak my parents out. You know, my initial intentions for getting involved as a young person were really misguided. And I think that, you know, that's typical. I started playing with Ouija boards and runes, and me and my friends would do, you know, some silly and effective spells. I didn't have any interest in the actual spiritual growth aspect of it at that point. You know, like I said, I wanted to be a TV witch with instant gratification. And it took me a lot of years, actually, to realize that there's a lot more benefits to it than that, you know. And I was lucky along the way to have found some very good mentors and willing teachers, you know, that kind of pulled me on to the right path. You know, I promised them, you know, when I was ready, I'd do the same thing for other people.
Now tell us about the hierarchy of witches and where you are in that hierarchy.
Okay. They're typically, in Wicca, there are 3 degrees for second and third. Generally, depending on the coven, depending on your structure and so on, it takes a year and a day to complete each one. There are times, though, when the second and third degree can take several more years. It depends on your spiritual
Is it a year
advance.
And a day for real?
A year and a day.
Okay.
You do training for a year and a day.
Okay.
You know,
I didn't know if you were just using that as the figure of speech.
But actually is, yeah. And some of the Wiccan marriages are arranged that way, too. You know, you marry for a year and a day.
And then what are some of the other maybe various reasons you've seen about how people get interested in becoming a witch or interested in witchcraft, perhaps? Is it, do you still see some younger generations that are rebellious? Or
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. In all respect to anybody who is interested, I mean, what I normally find is people who want to have some more control over their destinies, their futures. They want to learn the practical aspects of spell casting. Can't blame them, you know. There's other people that do come to us because they are naturally psychic and they're having difficulties managing some of these gifts that, you know, we all have, but ours are latent, theirs are not. So they come to us and they're like, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
And it's interesting you mentioned the word gift, actually, because that's really what it is. It's not, I don't think, something to so much be frightened of.
It's latent in most people, you know. Yeah. It's not on the surface. But there are people, particularly nowadays, that, you know, are becoming more psychic and they're just not as comfortable with it.
And speaking of those things, do witches get into tarot cards and crystal balls and things of that nature as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Tarot actually is my favorite divination tool. Mm-hmm. I spent an additional 6 years studying the tarot, and I got my Master Tarot designation. I've taught tarot classes. Mm-hmm. That's just one form of divination. I also have a crystal ball and a pendulum. They're all divination tools. They help us predict things.
Right. Tell us about male witches. I was under the assumption that witch doctors were male witches, but I think that's incorrect. And I know witch doctors are associated with Indian...
Several different pagan traditions have witch doctors. They're all pagans. That's, as I say, the umbrella term. But male Wiccans are called witches.
Okay. Older witches. Do they tend to get involved in new communities at all, or no?
I think, traditionally, Wicca was very secretive. Swept under the rug. You certainly didn't talk about it, with anyone outside of your circle. I think at this point I might be the oldest witch in the WoW group. But I haven't personally met any elderly ones, which would be wonderful. But I really think that coming out of the broom closet is more of a...
No pun intended?
A current trend, to come out of the closet. And it's okay to be Wiccan now. It's not as embarrassing or... scary to most people, we hope.
And then how about couples? Do they tend to be interested together? And then what about those who are married?
Married couples are wonderful. What I found from my personal experience, if you find a married Wiccan couple where they're both, practicing, they're generally in private covens. That's where you generally find them. We do have maybe one or two married couples in the WoW group. I think for the most part, our group is solitaries with open-minded spouses. Mm-hmm. Which is great too,
And tell us a little bit about the pentagram and pentacle.
Okay. The pentagram is a five-pointed star. Mm-hmm. Okay. It represents four elements, air, earth, fire, and water. The top point is spirit. A pentacle is a pentagram with a circle around it, and the circle just means sacred space or protected space. It's worn as an amulet. A lot of people will wear a pentagram or a pentacle around their neck as a necklace. Mm-hmm. Generally, my understanding, the pentacle is used in circle casting. Okay? It's something that you would draw with either your magic tool, your wand, your finger, what have you, to call on the elements, on the quarters.
Is that what you would refer to as a working circle? Or is it something different?
Well, any circle that you cast is a working circle. Okay. A working circle can involve one or several people.
So let's talk about spells and potions. We think we know what spells are and that we might understand potions. And maybe another stereotype or something that we put around this about the hair of bat and the frog legs and things that would go into these things. And would you use these kinds of things and eyes
There's a hint of truth to that, I'll just give you a real simple example. Toad's an elemental representation of Earth. So you're throwing a toe leg or something in your spell or your potion, you're probably manifesting something. Mm-hmm. All right. There's a lot of organic things that are involved in spell work. Typically, if you wanted, for example, a representation of fire, you might use cinnamon.
Okay.
Another organic substance like that. I think for the most part, I don't think most Wiccans want to use gross things like bat's wings and newt's legs.
Unless somebody else is drinking it.
Yeah, generally, we don't drink most of our potions.
Right. They're for somebody else. Then the four elements, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the four elements.
Sure. Air, earth, fire, and water. Mm-hmm. And the fifth element is spirit.
And the significance of all these?
Air is communication. It relates to the planet Mercury, color yellow. Wednesday is the day of communication. Earth is where we reside. Mm-hmm. That's pretty basic. Fire, that would be element of the south. Water would be element of the west. And I apologize, air is element of the east. Mm-hmm. And earth is considered north.
Well, appreciate you being on the show tonight. And it's especially fitting because it's Halloween and sharing all the information with us. And it was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for having me, Big JD.
Well, here's hoping you have a safe and happy Halloween. I want to thank practicing witch Barb Haven for being on the You Talking to Me local witches Halloween special. How fitting was that? Thanks for listening.